Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Walker met by Shabbat. Oh, what a move by Walker. Breaking ankles. Knocks it down.
Well, if you want to be a good team, you got to beat other good teams. We're realistic that we have a lot to work on, and that's a good thing.
Dale Arnold.
Robert Kraft has continued to say, you know, he wants Tom to experience this, but I'm not sure football operations feels the same way. I'm sure they want to know who their quarterback is going to be before you head into free agency.
Rich Keefe.
You know, that this didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Guys don't get suspended for something that didn't impact the game.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Mr. Hart.
Just to go roof daddy.
Okity dokity clokity.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart is in the house with us, as he is on Fridays. We've begun kind of talking about this whole Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing. And I said at the time, if I were Myles Garrett, I wouldn't have done the interview yesterday. And if I did do it, as soon as she asked about that, I would have said, look, it's in the past. I've already served my punishment. There's nothing to be gained by going back over that.
But what
I appreciate
if he's telling the
question.
Even then, you
right
say
now,
it?
There's nothing to be gained for him.
Oh, I think there is. If he's 100% telling the truth, this is a guy, the last time we saw him on the football field, took somebody else's helmet and hit him in the face with it.
And he said then why he did it.
Right. But so he,
and
did,
the, and
he was
the
asked
league,
about it again.
And the league investigated and said, yeah, no, we can find no evidence that this happened. And he basically, in the interview, said the league covered it up.
Right. Yeah. Again,
bad move by him.
Oh, but if it's true, why is that a bad move?
Right. The truth is never a bad move.
Yeah, why not?
As a parent, I've been trying to emphasize that to a kid who has a lying problem. The truth
how's that,
is
how's that going?
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great. But the truth, I would say, is never a bad move. Like, the truth shall set you free, correct?
Oh, boy.
Right?
That's good. You should put that in an article.
Maybe I will at
some
point.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I understand what you're saying, and it's a personal decision, right? In all these things, whether it's
especially
domestic
for a guy
violence
who just got reinstated.
Or, right. Like, people make decisions. Do I want to push this point in the legal system? Do I want to press charge, or do I want it to go away? Yeah, he did something wrong, and he should probably pay for it, but it's going to hurt me too. So do I really want to go down this road? It's a decision only one person can make, right?
Yeah.
Maybe with some advisors, the agent, whatever. I probably agree
with
you. My guess
is the agent would have said, Miles, I'd stay away right now.
Especially going after the league.
But how does it hurt Myles Garrett?
Well, he just accused the league of knowing that it happened and they covered it up.
Okay, so that part, I'll grant you, he kind of went down a different road. But if he just kept it with Mason Rudolph, I don't know why he has to protect Mason Rudolph at all.
No, I'm not suggesting he has to protect him.
Oh, okay.
But what he did do was say, no, the league knows it's true. They covered it up.
So he opened up a can of worms here.
No, with that part he did. But would you say if Mina Kimes just asked him again, like, take us through what happened, and he says to him anyway, what happened, that's fine, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could make a personal decision to make it go away.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he has to.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anyone should pressure him to not tell the truth or listen, it'll be, because I think that's historically has created a lot of problems. Oh, no. Why don't you just keep that to yourself? Do we really need to go there? Yeah. If I want to go there, I want to go there.
And
if it makes me look a little bit better, if it gives some sort of reason. But I think the way he sort of goes all over the place, well, it doesn't excuse my actions, and I just really want to leave it on the field. I'm not making this a racial thing, and the league covered it up. It's like, where are we going here?
Like,
pick a lane.
It's the most racial
pick
thing.
Right.
This is what it
pick
is.
Pick a lane here.
I also think it would be a much bigger story if it was a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Yes.
Right. Like Mason Rudolph, again, he's a backup. He's not going to be starting there next year. I think even if Roethlisberger's healthy or not healthy, it probably won't be Mason Rudolph. So you look at him, and he's kind of a forgettable person.
And don't misunderstand, it's if the league covered something up, it's wrong no matter who it is.
Yes.
Yeah. The chances of the league covering something up to protect Mason Rudolph as opposed to Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Drew Brees, it makes no sense to me that they would put their reputation on the line to make sure we got to protect Mason Rudolph here.
A lot of risk, not much reward.
No, not a good look to have a racist quarterback in the league. But at the same time, you have women beaters and kid beaters and all these other guys in the league. So I don't think they would. I don't think they would cover it up. And I know, you know, part of Garrett's thing was, oh, all of a sudden all this stuff is gone and, you know, all the recording devices. And you're like, I don't know. You got to be really sure. You got to be 100% sure that that's what you heard. And then, you know, damn the evidence, because that's what you heard.
Gut feeling. That's all we have here, because we don't have any evidence to the contrary. What do you think the Cleveland Browns and their new general manager thought of the interview yesterday?
I wonder, well, first of all, I wonder if he cleared
that
it
emoji,
with
them. Forehead, yeah, palm slap.
Like, I'm going to guess they went, oh, come on now.
Now, I wonder if he let them know that he was doing it,
yeah,
or
I don't
if
know.
He just did it on his own. Then it's more of a, what are you doing? But if they was like, hey, I've been asked to do this. Because remember, he had one scheduled a while ago, and then they pulled the plug on
yes,
it. Like
right.
a while ago. Like right, a while right. ago. Like, actually, it was supposed to be with Jay Glazer, like, the weekend after
right.
it happened.
Right.
And then they pulled the plug on it, and then this one. So if this blindsided the Browns, then they're obviously going to be pissed off. But if they knew about
well,
it,
their
like,
new general manager just held individual one-on-ones with Odell Beckham Jr. and another player for some off-season issues. And basically, the new GM was, and this is I'm paraphrasing, was basically saying, "Hey, we're not doing this stuff now.
Right.
We've got a new way of doing things here." He spoke to these players individually,
but this is a different issue. This is a legitimate issue, right? This isn't, you know, I'm being a diva receiver, come trade for me, come get
right,
me.
Right,
and
right,
this
right.
is a legitimate, he was suspended for an altercation. He may be expressing why the altercation happened, even if he's not excusing his own actions. But then that next step, the big step here, one giant leap here is the league covered it up. That's what
oh.
adds a lot of fuel to the fire of this story.
Wouldn't it be something if the league said, you know, we reinstated you? We're not reinstating you anymore.
Well, I mean, the league, if the audio exists, that's the smoking gun one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to do this, Miles? We thought this was over. Tune into the NFL Network tonight
right.
for NFL Live at 6:30. You will hear the unedited audio. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One way or the
sure.
other.
Sure, that's it.
If it exists.
If it exists.
Now,
ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah.
I did not find him believable. I will agree with our expert witness girlfriend caller that
she was picking up on some of the cues.
The psychological
yeah.
cues.
Yeah, he was a little.
Did he touch his face at all? They say that's one of the cues.
Is it?
If you start touching your face, liar!
What if you've got allergies?
Yeah, what if you have an
still
itch?
Still a liar. Still a liar.
Liar, liar, liar. Liar.
You wouldn't be so itchy.
You got a long nose hair that's
stuff.
Curled around and really bothering you.
Liar.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
How you doing? I have a hard time believing Myles Garrett also because Rudolph's black teammates were right there if you watch the video, and I have a hard time believing they would have his back if he said something like that. So maybe something was said where Myles Garrett misunderstood him or whatever, but I have a hard time believing he said that.
Well, I know that there's a certain team thing, and you know, you stick up for teammates. I understand
yeah.
that part of it, but if he did, in fact, audibly call Myles Garrett the N-word, I have a hard time believing that his teammates, his African-American teammates, would cover up for him.
Yeah, I think it's more likely they just, I mean, you'd have to be really close to hear potentially.
Well, Pouncey was right there.
No, but I mean, they're rolling around on the ground. I think I
right,
could be
no,
from
it was
me
before,
to you.
It was before Pouncey got there, because
yeah.
they've been showing the highlights all day again. It was, if when they were kind of face-to-face, hard for anybody else to really hear what was said between either one of them, right?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. The only two people that could have heard this
yeah.
and did
are
hear
the two
it
were involved.
Right. So it's a.
Except according to one of them, the league has audio and is burying it.
Yeah, but every quarterback has a microphone in his helmet, but he lost his helmet.
Because if you really want to do this, watching the replay of it again, the two closest guys to Garrett when they were talking were actually white linemen, if you want to play it that way, right?
But it's not a racial thing.
No, I know. But then Pouncey comes running in after. So it's, you know, if you want to play it that way.
That one linesman literally is standing between them.
Yeah, you wonder if
number
the lineman
66.
Heard him. But there was a time when they were both on the ground prior to that. That again, maybe the lineman didn't hear it. You're on the football field; could be, you know, it's loud. I don't know.
Right, it's loud. You're on a football field. Who knows?
Heat of the battle type of
yeah.
stuff. Taylor's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Taylor.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Good.
So I really like you guys' take on race. Normally, I but this is for Dale. Like Andy and Rich get it. For some reason, I'm glad you brought up the body language stuff and everything. You've been covering football and sports for a long time. You have never seen anyone spaz out like that. Why is that body language ignored? And, like, it's been months after he goes in the interview. Maybe he's ashamed because he knows where it's going. He doesn't want to have to say it. But he has to say it because it's the truth.
So wouldn't that mean why he's acting like that, acting ashamed? And because it's he doesn't want to have to deal with this.
Right.
But it's the truth. You've never seen anyone lose their mind like that. He made him into like Mario Brothers and squished him like one of those little mushrooms.
He did.
With his own helmet.
He did.
For what reason?
Right. You can
ever. That's.
Right, he's played football. I mean, I know he hasn't. He's only been in the NFL for a couple of years.
He's had some issues, not to this degree.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He has trotted across the line in the past.
Dale, right, why do you ignore that body language? Why are you picking up on everything else except for that? Never seen anyone act like that. And for months after, he had a chance to squeeze away from it. Anytime he could have just said exactly like you said, it's in the past, but he didn't. And it would go to prove that he was that upset. It really upset him that much. And still, to this day, it upsets him.
Yeah, so because, like, at least on the field, I don't know about Garrett off the field, but on the field, that's the biggest mistake. It's the dumbest thing he has done
ever. Yeah.
And so if somebody's going to ask you about it, and there was kind of something that triggered you off, hard to really ignore that. And again, if it's true, I would bring it up, too, because, like, that's what he's known for. He's a great player, but most people now know Myles Garrett as the guy who hit the other guy with the helmet.
Although the part that you said he shouldn't have said was the league's covering this up.
Well,
unless
that's
he
true
thinks
too.
It's true. Like, unless he really believes that's happening.
No, that you need to know is true.
You can't think it's true. Yeah, you open the door up to a lot more
stuff. You'd have
stuff
to have a
on
copy of that on.
Yeah, there needs to be something there. But I would say both things can be true. This, he can believe that's what Rudolph said to him. He can believe it was uttered, and he can also believe that it's not an excuse for his actions, right? Like, he can say it, it's the truth, I lost my control, and my parents raised me to be different for that. There's never a reason for you to do and lose your mind. Even that word is said, any other word is said, somebody talks about your mother, your dead mother, you're still a human being in control of your actions. So both can be true. The word was said, and he's embarrassed by the way he reacted to the word on the field at the time. Right?
Sure.
Like, they can both. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would, like, you sort of started, Keith, and you kind of backed off of this. Like, it doesn't excuse the actions. It doesn't give you, do whatever you want after this.
And I think for a lot of people, you're like, well, I can see why he would do it.
And there is a value maybe in that.
But
like,
I'm not
some
saying,
people now understand, oh, so that's what he said. That's why you lost it for a couple minutes. I can see that.
I kind of get it. That's what did it. Or the he deserved it type of thing. Now, you're also not surprised that he was suspended by the league. Like,
no.
I'm not saying that, but it's like, all right.
But it was
he
like,
felt like it was worth it.
It was like a week after the incident, literally a week after the incident when Myles Garrett brought this part up.
Well, he had an interview scheduled and they pushed that off.
No, but it was also instantaneous. I want to say Josina Anderson tweeted and then deleted.
And then deleted it because. Yeah.
But she tweeted it, so. If she, I'd like to give her credit as a reporter. If she tweeted it, she has a source.
She's in that.
She had some reason, but like that, maybe that person said, "Listen, I didn't know. I don't want that out. Delete that. I don't want that out there right now."
Yeah.
Right. So there's a whole time period there. So I do think it was out there pretty quickly that this was a possibility. Now I don't know.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, by the way, too. I feel like if I say I didn't believe Myles Garrett, watching him and looking at him, I'm a racist, right? That some people
tough
are going to say, oh, there's a shock. The Boston white guy doesn't believe the black guy from Cleveland, right? Like, automatically.
Yeah,
like,
know
that's just the way it is.
And by the way, I'm not even saying I believe him or don't believe him.
I don't.
What I'm saying is, I don't think there was much to be gained for him to go down the road he went yesterday. And look, we're playing silly games here. If Mason Rudolph said, you know, no, you're a bigger jerk, and all of a sudden you heard something different.
I don't think anybody's ever said that in the history of the world, Dale.
I'm trying to figure out a way.
Yeah, let's be careful.
He could, and I was,
not, we don't need I to was figure out a way.
Very careful.
Yeah.
Where he thought he heard this, but what he really, what was really said was that, look, Mason Rudolph's what, 24, 25 years old?
Yeah, they're both pretty young.
So chances are, if he said it, as you said, Rich, this isn't the first time he's ever said
it.
If he said it, he's done it before.
And it's not like he hasn't had opportunities. He plays football with black pass rushers, right, who have tackled him. Maybe it hurt. Maybe he felt it was low or they hit his face. Like, he's had the opportunity, if that is in his mindset, to say it. And now, Rich is right. It could come out of the woodwork.
Some guy
from Oklahoma, some guy from this school could say, his sophomore year,
and by the way, hasn't happened yet.
No. But Myles Garrett threw some fire, I mean, some gas on the fire. Yeah. Where this is going to blow up. It's a big story. There's a reason we're talking about it. There's a reason when I look up at monitors in the studio, they're talking about it. Because not only is it a big issue, but they also know that it's a polarizing race issue, and they need something other than Brady to talk about.
I mean, they already found out a while ago, and he liked a lot of anti-Colin Kaepernick tweets. He liked a lot of anti-Jamel Hill tweets, like things like that. Right, like they've already found.
Again,
no, that doesn't mean
I don't like Jamel Hill. Am I a racist?
No, you're not. Okay, I'm just saying. Well, I don't know that from our limited interaction.
But
I would
that's
say
what
not.
This is going to turn into.
I'm just saying. But those
are
you
voted for
been
Trump?
Written.
Of course you said it.
I know,
right?
He is a big fan of Trump,
right?
Yep.
So that's where this goes down. But the bottom line is, did it actually happen? Not circumstantial evidence. Did it happen? And can either side prove that it did or didn't? And
right now,
I'm with
probably
Dale.
Not.
You can't think there was a cover-up if you're going to call out the National
Football
League.
There
needs to
lost.
Be knowledge of a cover-up.
You better have the tape in your hand.
Right.
Yes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness Week in Review. Back to your calls on the other side. Michael Irvin an hour from now. Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Listen every day at 8:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 4:30 p.m. until the end of next week for your chance to win a trip to Aruba. Visit weei.com/Aruba. Enter the code word BUNT right now for a chance to win an all-inclusive five-night, six-day trip for two to Aruba. You'll stay at Divey Village Golf and Beach Resort, where you'll enjoy four on-site restaurants, all located both poolside and along the golf course, with stunning views. Enter the code word BUNT now at weei.com/Aruba for your chance to win a getaway to Aruba, one happy island. Your next chance to win comes at 4:30 p.m. with Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. It's brought to you by Divey Village Golf and Beach Resort and the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say? Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay. So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Yeah,
exactly.
We don't need you.
Stupid journey.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
They say he was feeding it meth to keep it aggressive.
Earl Duncan Hyman is going to win Conn Smythe.
I knew there were going to be knives at this fight. Not just fists, I knew there'd be knives. I had knives.
What he didn't expect was that the clerk would pull out a machete of his own.
Here we go. It is a Friday at noon 30. It means it's time for our week in review. In fact, this is like a mini what we've gotten the first couple months of the year. We're doing wise words from Wiggy.
Oh, nice.
Surprisingly, not a ton from the week, but we've decided to just add it to the file here and throughout the year. This could be a growing segment. This might even take up a whole hour by the end of the year, but here's what we have right now.
And now, wise words.
The screw-ups versus getting it right.
From Wiggy.
And so who knows who Jose Altuve's friends with? The kid Chris Goodwin. Give me a percentage pie number. You ultimately are getting amnesia. Aioli. You see that at Circus Dole all the time. Look at Mike McCarty. They were throwing full bears at camp. Soliloquy. We've heard Belichick say this a numerous times. Robert Salver. Montana. There's only been a hand few. Here's the Leopard Island. Cuba Gooding Jr. How was Birds of a Prey?
Awesome.
It's only a four-hour show. Are you going to keep accumulating these?
Yes, we are. Birds of Prey, by the way, was good, and you can check it out on the latest Dork podcast. We talked about Birds of Prey. Number one movie in America right now.
Really?
Believe it or not, speaking of podcasts.
And you liked it, right?
I actually did. I don't. Not everybody did. I liked it. I thought it was very entertaining.
Didn't they have to change the name of it, too, because it's not doing well?
Yeah.
It's a slap of Harley Quinn on the beginning?
They never should have called it Birds of Prey to begin with. People
you
didn't even know what that was.
You had to put Harley Quinn in the title some way.
That's what the name of the movie should have just been.
Yes.
Simply Harley Quinn, but I would check it out if you're looking for something to do this weekend. Speaking of podcasts, though, how about something from the Off Day Pod?
Oh, how about
our very own Andy Hart.
That's a good idea you had.
Wait a minute. Andy Hart made the cut this week?
Well, it's not more of a story of his guests. This week's guest was Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, who told a pretty good car story.
I hit a deer. I wasn't going very fast. Yeah, it came bounding across the left lane into my car, and I caught it with the right bumper. It bounced right back off, kept on going into the woods. So that's why I was like, oh.
Your car's totaled and the deer kept going?
Yeah.
You have a car.
Well, it's dead now because it has been totaled.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went out. I looked at it. I was like, oh, the bumper's a little bit off, but no big deal. Pulled the hood. The hood, everything's good. Everything's fine. On the highway going 75 miles an hour.
You're
passing speeding. Lane.
See,
I was speeding. And all of a sudden, whoop, that was the noise. The
you hood, know what else the noise was?
Yes.
That was you pooping pretty your much. Pants.
The hood slams into the windshield. The hood does not break off, so now it's just stuck to the windshield. The windshield was splintered, and I couldn't see. You can't see when the hood's in front of your windshield. Yes, the deer won. My car has been totaled, so that has just been a whole kind of process.
That was like in like Tommy Boy, basically.
That's what I said elsewhere in the podcast.
Yeah, what was he doing? That's tough.
Can now, you imagine like your thought process? You're doing 75 on the 495.
Now, do you break for animals? Because my wife famously does not break for animals.
Well, she would have taken the deer out.
She would have smashed
it. Damaged the car, but the deer's not getting away with it.
Related note, she has hit a deer with her car. But oh, that's
well,
a,
well, she targets them.
She was actually running and gunning with the car.
Accelerating. Yeah, well, listen.
Those eyeballs I see in the dark, I'm accelerating.
She said, Rich, you don't may care. Have a sword.
Don't
I got four wheels.
Yeah. Don't care. One of the stars of the week was Houston Texans owner Jim Crane, who had a press conference to apologize for everything that went on. He had this to say.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Less than a minute later, he followed it up with...
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
No, that's exactly what you said 55 seconds
and
before.
And I don't know if you know how this works. Like, people record these things in this day and age.
Even if they don't, they can remember stuff for 55 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you envision off to the side somewhere this guy in a suit with, like, papers, PR guy, and he just throws the papers in the air and turns and walks off?
No, I said,
forget it.
I said, I promise you, the Astros hired some crisis management company, and they put together this whole plot, this whole plan. And then Jim Crane lit a match to it yesterday.
Oh, and you know they 100%. Said, you know, bullet points, don't say this, don't say that. Although I have
don't
talked.
Don't say cheat.
The question and answer is what
don't
threw
say
off.
It didn't impact the game if you don't mean, like, and then don't contradict yourself right there. But I've actually talked to PR people that they're, when you're working with some players or other coach, you can't say what you don't want them to say.
Because it goes in their head.
Because it goes in their head, and then they freak out and they say it.
Yeah,
so sometimes you work, you know, the clay you're working with just can't be molded. It's too firm.
Like Altuve and Bregman were held at gunpoint, and they said their 30-second apologies, and then they moved on.
They read the page that was given to them.
Correct.
Sounded like fools.
Yeah.
And then you go in the clubhouse, and the players who answered questions, George Springer and others, sounded like human beings.
Right. They actually
who had some remorse.
No, those guys were... to be fair, they were put in a tough spot because you're trying to say... Hey, the players have nothing to do with it, or don't blame the players. But then they're like, oh, by the way, our two best players are going to go apologize.
For what?
Yeah, what are we apologizing for? Last Friday, when we talked to Michael Irvin, who will join us today at 1:30, by the way, he, of course, broke a lot of news. Well, the plan is that he did.
Oh, okay.
But maybe the
he's
best
mad
part,
at Dale because Dale set him up.
Yeah.
The best part of that story, though, when Michael Irvin told us that significant people have talked about Tom Brady playing for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott being traded somewhere else, was that when he heard this story, he was drinking a vodka cran. He had a nice little vodka cranberry, which on Monday led to my story about the last time I had vodka cranberry. It was spring break down in Florida. We did the cheapest possible spring break ever. And one of the bars, you got this big, ridiculous, like, shamrock cup. It's like a huge cup. And if a girl bought it, it was $1 for vodka crans.
Oh, boy.
So basically, you would just stumble to the bar and be like, hey, can you give me a vodka cran? And you're like, give her like a dollar. And then she'd be like, just please stop talking to me. I'll get you the vodka
cran. Get your breath out of my face.
I don't drink vodka cranberry.
And had a lot of vodka crans that night. And it was one of those ones.
Not that you'd remember them, but
you take the cab home, and the whole time the cabbie's looking at you like, you better not in this car.
You
better not do it in this car. And so that was.
So you did it in the cheap hotel room.
I did. And it was funny. We stayed at a Days Inn.
There were 9 of them in the hotel room.
Dale, you were there? Because you're right. And it was like a shady part. Where were we? It was Fort Lauderdale. And it was the shadiest place. So we stayed at the Days Inn. And I get out of the cab. I successfully made it out of the cab. And I go to throw up in like the palm trees. And there's already like an ambulance there for somebody else at the hotel. And like police. And they just see me. And they just like look away. They're like, this is not even our problem right now. Like, we probably have a murder. And then we got one of the other rooms.
Take care of somebody who matters.
God, it was terrifying. So that may have been, at the time, loved a vodka cran. I've kind of moved on to other things.
Yeah, there's a lot of drinks out there. You don't have to have a vodka cran every time.
No. The ambulance really crew was saying, look, maybe we'll have to come get him later, but we'll get this guy. We'll take care of him.
Just think of what they see on a, you know, average cheap spring break night.
Right.
Oh, sure. Exactly. There's a lot that goes on. Right. You can't just every kid that pukes is not needing help.
No. He's fine. He'll walk that off. He'll be just fine. Dale had a story as well about staying at a certain type of place.
My shady hotel story was at a Super Bowl. We're in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And, you know, the NFL sticks you in places, and, and they stuck us in this. And so I check into this hotel, an NFL hotel, by the way.
Yeah.
Get my stuff into the hotel room.
Yeah.
And carved into the headboard of my bed.
Nope.
Are the words "Die Honky"?
Nope.
True story.
Yeah.
But you didn't die, honky.
Honky? Yeah. You made it. You came out the other side. You're doing all right.
They were greeting you.
Believe it or not.
I will say my broadcast partner at the time did not stay in that hotel. And he was in some other place.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, yeah, he did.
He big timed you a little bit, huh?
I'm going to someplace nice.
So the morning show for the last 3 days, the Greg Hill Show was down in Florida for spring training baseball.
OMF is headed down. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
OMF's headed down next week.
I think they're calling a game.
I've
heard that. The first game. Yeah.
I've heard the ads.
So we're going.
No, Dale, we're not.
Oh,
we're staying here. Somebody's got to keep an eye on the place, and that's us.
And while you're there, Dale, would you mind just cleaning the countertops in the studio, if you wouldn't mind?
So they had a lot of good guests on the program, from Nathan Eovaldi to Jackie Bradley Jr. to Michael Chavis,
Chaim Bloom,
and what I was even surprised by, Bobby Valentine.
That was a real hit around here back in my day. That was a hell of a year. Come on. Hey, Ordway, I'd love to punch you right in your face, tear those little alligator arms off you, and smack you around. The only thing older than Fenway is your broadcast career. So a guy used to manage the Mets, and he brings in a nacho bar, and everyone turns on you. What the hell's going on here at Fenway?
Well, I was always wondering what Bobby Valentine was up to. That was good.
Well,
it was good to hear him.
The other part he's doing is building a hockey rink on campus at Sacred Heart University.
He's still the athletic director there?
He is still.
Is he really?
Didn't they have a big brawl recently or something?
Sacred Heart?
Did he?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they did. I wonder how he cracked down on that.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if they did. All right, yeah, that'll do it. We got other stuff, but that can just go on forever.
We got more Wiggy.
That's coming later.
We got a ton of stuff here.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk with Michael Irvin, the playmaker, at the bottom of the next hour. Right back to your calls next. Dale and Keith with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Jose Altuve's friends with?
The kid Chris Goodwin.
Give me a percentage pie number.
You ultimately are getting amnesia.
Aioli.
You see that at Circus Dole all the time. Look at Mike McCarty. They were throwing full bears at camp. Soliloquy. We've heard Belichick say this a numerous times. Robert Salver. Montana. There's only been a hand few.
Here's the Leopard Island.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
How was Birds of a Prey?
In. First of all, I'm a dealaholic.
You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
Dale and Keith?
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
We're sitting here during the commercial break, and we've got TV monitors up in the studio and on ESPN over here. They're doing an Outside the Lines show. And they've got Adam Schefter on there, and they've got Myles Garrett on there. And I said, uh-oh, if you've got Adam Schefter opining on Myles Garrett's accusation that Mason Rudolph used the N-word, it's a thing again.
It got real.
Oh, yeah, that's going to... So now the NFL experts can spend a couple minutes on this instead of Tom Brady and then get back to Tom Brady.
We'll drag it back to Brady.
Yeah.
He'll post an Instagram or something.
And then finally, good, we can jump off of this topic and get back to where Brady's going to play.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is a topic that anyone really wants to delve into and talk about. Certainly not the league that's being accused by Myles Garrett of some sort
covering
of
covering it up.
Yeah. These leagues, why are they all being accused of covering things up?
Do you think by next Tuesday, Myles Garrett has some sort of clarification on, I heard it, I'm not suggesting, though, that the, like, he'll walk back part of it.
He'll walk back the NFL covering it up.
But not the Rudolph thing. You can't really do that now. That part's out of it. But you can say, like, that's not really what I meant. I just thought that, you know, there maybe would have been a record. Like, you got to... The Browns are probably going to talk to him and say, you got to clean that part up. If you want to still say Rudolph said it, fine, because that's why you did what you did. But let's not turn it into this grand conspiracy.
And he said this, correct me if I'm wrong, he's met with Commissioner Goodell. That was part of his reinstatement.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
So within a reasonable amount of time.
The last few days.
He had a sit down with the commissioner.
Yeah.
And
this,
then
this week at some point.
Goes in front of a microphone and a TV camera and says.
Unless.
Oh.
And I don't think anybody here would trust Roger Goodell. Nobody would, right? What if in that conversation, Myles Garrett said, well, there's got to be some proof, right? Like, wasn't he mic'd up or was somebody mic'd up? And Goodell says, yeah, but we haven't, like, that's not, nobody has found that or, like, that's gone. Or, like, what if he said something about.
So he somehow fueled.
Yes.
Garrett's, like, speculation. Yeah, like maybe or he
put that. Maybe somebody put that. Maybe that somebody was Goodell or somebody at the league meeting sort of put in the, well, there is no evidence. Sorry, Miles, because, you know, we can't find it. Or, like, I don't know. Like,
we lost that disc. It was on a floppy and somebody lost it.
The way the NFL has handled so many things.
I don't think so. I don't know why they even said that, Dale.
Old school one.
It's a thumb drive now. It was on a thumb drive.
But, I mean, they could screw this up as well as anything.
Oh,
the NFL is very capable of screwing
but
this
the last, Deflategate? But the last thing on the planet that Roger Goodell would say sitting across the desk from Myles Garrett is, look, there was some audio. I don't know where it is now, though.
I mean, you didn't want that. Even he's not dumb enough to do that.
Yeah, that's where I can't agree with you.
617-779-7937. Dave's in Salem. Hey, David.
Hey, it's actually Jay. But
I'm sorry.
How you doing, guys? That's okay. Not my initial, my actual name.
Okay.
I just want to weigh in on this a little bit. Just from what it sounds like, I don't have a TV, so I can't watch body cues, but it sounds like the guy has either believes or has convinced himself or you know, is invested, and yes, I heard this word. And you were talking a while ago about whether Rudolph should do a slander suit.
Well, it was one of the things that Michael McCann suggested was a possibility for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a way, I know it's an investment of time, it's an investment of money, but you're talking about the guy's his own reputation. If he knows he didn't say it, although I truly believe Garrett thinks he heard it, but if this kid, you know, absolutely didn't say it, I don't want to follow me around. There are certain hot-button words, accusations, whatever, that just stick forever. That's one that sticks forever.
Right. We're going under the assumption, for the sake of our argument, he never said it, would never say it, never crossed his lips. I'd be real tempted to file a lawsuit.
I think you would have to certainly consider it. And I think just, you know, kind of the public at large that either sees the video, hears some of these quotes, they're not going to do, just like with the Brady stuff and just like with any time the Patriots are getting in trouble, only a small percentage read everything that's written about it. So right now, I think most of the country thinks Myles Garrett's a dirty player and Mason Rudolph is a racist.
Right.
Those are the two kind of headline grabs. And let's face it, one is a lot worse than the other.
Oh, I would much rather be labeled a dirty player.
Right. And then even like there are certain people that say, I don't even care what the excuse is. You're a dirty player. We saw what you did. You should have been suspended longer, whatever. Dirty player. And for the rest of his career, and they're both young. They both potentially, I mean, Garrett more so than Rudolph, are probably going to be in the league for a long time, but he'll always be dirty player. He'll always be like Albert Haynesworth. But Rudolph, a little bit worse, and this is outside of football as well. It's not like, oh, he's a bad quarterback. Nope, he's a racist bad quarterback.
617-779.
Horrible.
That's a bad combo. 617-779-7937. Michael Irvin joins us at the bottom of the next hour. Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.